I was thinking during Charlotte's children's story time, we brought Judson all these presents, and then she beat them all with a coloring book. So, but that brings us a good analogy for today's sermon, that my kid loves to color. Now, the thing with coloring is, for any of you that have had toddlers, is when they like to color, if your eyes leave them, they're not always going to just color the paper. Meaning for Judson, that may be the wall, that might be the refrigerator, whatever he can get his hands on, though, if we're not looking, he's going to color it. Well, the thing with that is, I can go back and I can wipe the color off. I can restore the wall, if you will. But I'm not going to build a new wall. And what I'm trying to get to with saying that today is, what is the difference in restoration and renewal? They aren't the same thing. If Judson colors on the wall, I can wipe it off and clean it. I can restore it. But I'm not going to build a new one. I'm not going to renew the wall. I'm not going to start from scratch. I'm just going to restore it. But the beauty in a new year is that God does not restore, God renews. Some view restoration and renewal as the same thing. But when an item is restored, you are trying to bring it into sometimes a better version of its old self. So I used to like to watch TV where they would restore things like old Coke machines and things like that. They didn't make a new Coke machine. They restored an old one. Now, Jesus does not necessarily restore. You're not a better version of your old self. You're a new creation. Friends, when something is renewed, it is completely changed. It isn't a better version of an old creation, it's a new creation. And today, renewal in the new year is just that. It's an opportunity for a new creation. And today, as we inch closer to that new year, it's a time for us to reflect on the past year. All of the pain that some of us have went through, all of the joy that some of us have went through. Some of us have welcomed new life while some of us have had to watch other life go away. But the truth is that in that reflection, God has given us a hope, and that we are still here. Amen. And we can focus on the future. We can be forward facing. One such church that we're going to talk about today was the church of Ephesus. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. But this such church, Paul was afraid that this church would become prey to the Gentiles. They would begin to follow the Gentiles. But they represent the truth of what we will speak about today. And if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. The Word of God says this: "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lavishness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that soul steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful today for the opportunity to be a student of your word today. And Father, my prayer and our prayer today is that as we look at your word, Father, it would change us moving forward. Father, that this new year, it would change who we are. We wouldn't be a restored man, we would be a new man. And Father, that you would complete us and make us whole if we have not been completed. And Father, if there is something that is holding us back from you, Father, would we not try to live as that old man? But Father, would we live as the new creation that you have made us to be? And I say this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Out of all the things some of us could have went through this year, facing sicknesses, facing death, some of us facing joys of new life and joys of excitement and new opportunities, and out of all of those things that we have faced, some of us in these joys and in these trials and in these tests, we have missed the point. Meaning, some of us who have experienced this, we have not given God the credit He deserves in our year in giving us a new opportunity for a new year today. Hallelujah. God has given each of us this new year coming up, and we can praise Him for that. We can thank Him that we have a new opportunity today. We can be the renewed man or woman today, no matter what we have faced in the year before. Just like Charlotte said, there's always a day to move forward, but today is a special day to move forward. And I have to wonder, as we end this year, friends, have you ever been guilty of following the paths of those around you? Meaning, you just do what is popular and convenient. You have a herd mentality. You take the easy path. Because the easy path, it's just that, right? It is the easy path. Well, sometimes the popular choice, the easy choice, is not always the best choice. And this is similar to that of what Paul was speaking on. He had hoped and prayed and encouraged in today's scripture that the Ephesians would not follow the path that was set before them by the Gentiles, but they would not fall into the way the Gentiles lived as the old man. For those of us who know Christ today, what does the old you look like? Many of us have an older version of ourselves. Some of those older versions seem to haunt us. They continue to come up. They continue to show themselves. But why? Well, friends, perhaps you haven't been able to move on from the old you for a couple of different reasons. You may not trust Jesus with all of yourself. You may not have allowed the Holy Spirit to lead you out of a life of sin. Meaning you may still be living in sin and the Holy Spirit has tried to move in your life, but you have ignored that call, maybe because it's popular, maybe because it's convenient, maybe because you're scared of what you may lose. But one major symptom of lives separated from God is that in separation, our fellowship with God and our world becomes distorted. It becomes distorted by the sin that dwells within us. We can't see clearly. The Gentiles' view of the world was distorted by sin. And friends, this is what Scripture calls a darkened view. A darkened view is the way that Paul describes the Gentiles in Ephesians 4, verse 18, when he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He talks about blindness and darkening in that verse. Becoming closed-minded and only being able to see the old you because the sin has darkened opportunity for new you. At times, many in our world live with a darkened view. The symptoms of this are indicated in a few different ways. For some, that is becoming closed-minded and stubborn in our ways, such as the Sadducees and Pharisees did in Jesus' day. In Matthew 12, Jesus and the disciples went through the garden to pick grain to have a meal. And the Pharisees saw them picking the grain, and they said, this is not how it should be. This is against the law of the land. They had become so consumed by the law of the land, and this is in other places in Scripture too, that they missed the point. They were darkened. They couldn't see the forest for the trees. The Pharisees looked to the disciples as what they were doing is unlawful and wrong. But Jesus knew the truth, that something greater than the temple was here. Something greater than the law of the land was here. And there was more to this than ancient tradition. The Pharisees' view was distorted and darkened due to the tradition. Tradition was their sin. They were so focused on what has been and what should be that they missed really the truth of who Jesus was and what He was coming for. They missed many because of the simple fact that they became obsessed with the law of the land. And they misled a lot of folks for the simple fact that they were darkened. Their view was darkened. And so they misled many. For the Gentiles, this was indicated in Ephesians 4:19, where Scripture says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lavishness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Though I do not know the hearts of the people today, there is one who knows your heart. Thankfully today, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to provide an opportunity to have hope for a future year and hope for tomorrow. The Holy Spirit, as He perhaps could convict you today, He could try to pull you out of your distorted view on this day of whatever may be holding your life back as the old man or old woman. But there is an opportunity for repentance on this day. And if you are one here today who has lived this past year, and perhaps past years, plural, perhaps thinking that you are saved, but in realization today the Holy Spirit is beginning to move in your heart, beginning to convict and show you that perhaps your faithfulness has not been as strong as you once believed. If you are that one today, and you need to repent of your sin today, the beauty of you being in this building is that the Lord could be giving you that wonderful opportunity. For the Gentiles, Paul made it clear that they had already allowed this distortion to blind your heart. Think of how strong and powerful those words really are. That the Holy Spirit can move in our heart today, but the Gentiles, they had a blind heart. Not just their eyes, but their heart. How can a blind heart see? You know, the feeling of conviction could be on your heart today. Maybe your blind heart is being opened, and you are beginning to see the sin that is blinded it to start with. We have an opportunity today, and we have to decide what we're going to do with that opportunity. Just simply believe in the faith that Jesus Christ forgives your sins by asking the Lord to forgive you of them and to turn away from them on this day and then seek to be renewed in Him. When the Holy Spirit draws us into action out of our darkened view and into total faith in Jesus Christ, we get to decide to follow Him with ourself. But only when that Holy Spirit draws us. So friends, sometimes this can present itself as different things. It doesn't always present itself in obvious sins. Sometimes this can present itself in past hurts, past pains, where we can't move on from the old man, the old woman, because our past hurt and our past pain won't allow us to move into a new life. We try to carry that with us. We think we're strong enough, we're powerful enough, we can handle it, right? But the thing with past hurts are, as long as we're trying to carry them on our own, we're not going to experience what God can really do with them. Meaning, we have to turn them over to Christ. We have to allow our God to take those past hurts, to take those past pains, to take those past trials onto His shoulders. Because sometimes we think we're strong enough to do it on our own. And we cannot move to a new us because we are not allowing Christ to take our burdens. And perhaps today that may be you. Perhaps there's something you find bitterness in. You find resentment in. You're frustrated about it. You can't move on. Is it because you're trying to carry it on your own today? Maybe today you need a transition. And by that I mean you need to transition the direction of your heart. Some for salvation, some for past hurts, some for grief. But whatever the case is, you're trying to carry it on your own and it's not possible. Today you need a Savior, you need Jesus, and you need to transition your heart to Him. Wouldn't that be life-changing today if the Holy Spirit began to move in your heart today and help to draw you unto Him, be it for salvation, or just be it that you would move on from the old and begin to live in the new. The old man within you would become the new man. The new man is to describe a man or woman who is transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, transformed by the goodness of God, transformed by the carrying of our God, that He would carry your burdens and your weights. For many of us today, we have experienced life transformation through Him already in our life, but I want to encourage all of you today to ask a simple question. What is different in your life today than was at the start of 2023? And what is going to change in your life from this day forward until the end of 2024? You see, as time passes, we have a tendency, even some of us who live in the new man, we try to go back to the old man. It doesn't make a lot of sense when we've been in God's goodness, but some of us try to go back to the old man. We try to become frustrated about the past again, and we become resentful, and we become angry. We fall into a sin that used to be prevalent. And we want to go back. But thankfully, we have a God whose Spirit can reveal to us the truth, can convict us of that. And today, perhaps you're trying to go back. Maybe God's Spirit is saying, you can't go back, you got to go forward. And if that's you today, I pray that today would be the day that you would come, you would repent of your sin for trying to go back. Because God's trying to move us forward. For those of us who fail to listen to the Spirit and venture out on our own, living as the old man and not as the new man. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This is a verse that we taught over at the FLC this week. Friends, sometimes what I've kind of learned is we need to listen to the Holy Spirit when we're trying to listen to ourselves. We need to press on, as Scripture says. We need to listen to this holy word today. And perhaps in our church, in the lives of us as individuals, but also in our church, we need to press on. Perhaps we need to forget some of the past hurts and pains and press on to a new us. Moving forward to the high calling of God. How can we live in a high calling when we still live in the past? Well, according to Scripture, we can't. If living in our past hurts, our past sins, whatever the old man looks like, we cannot move forward to the high calling of Christ. Well, you may ask, what is the high calling of God? Well, simply put, it is to allow Christ to pursue us, and for us, we are going to seek God's will, seek God's mission, seek God's heart, seek God's vision on our life, on our church's life, on our friends' life. We're going to seek to pour that into them. And friends, that may mean that we have to give up some sacred cows today. Now, a sacred cow is something that we have made an idol out of. It. Maybe it's not a bad thing, such as the Pharisees and Sadducees. Law in itself is not bad. But law became something of obsession, something of tradition. It became bad. And so perhaps, friends, we got to give up some sacred cows in our lives and in the lives of our church today if we are going to press on toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Not only in our personal lives, but what would it look like if our church was truly pressing on? Friends, that may mean that we have to give up some of these things. We may have to give up some idols in our personal life. Because maybe we've got some things that, maybe they're not necessarily bad things, but they mean more to us than Christ. And they mean more to us than the mission of Christ. And they mean more to us than the vision of Christ. Well, those things are going to do nothing more than stand in the way of Him. Perhaps we have to make a bold decision today to move on from something that isn't drawing us into allowing God to pursue us with our lives, that we are trying to block the Holy Spirit, we are not allowing it to work in our lives because we are living in the old us. It's drawing us into the past old self, one who lived separated from God. And friends, this brings us to our final point today, and that is the grief of the Spirit. The last verses in our Scripture, verse 30 of chapter 4 said, "Let all bitterness," "and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Webster defines grief in this way. It says, "Deep distress caused by that of bereavement." So when we avoid the Spirit's call to live in newness, when we avoid the Spirit's call to press on, and we choose to try to live as the old us, Scripture teaches us that God's Holy Spirit, it grieves. It grieves as though we're dead. Friends, if that's not some, there's not some power in that. It's a scary truth. If we're living as an old us, but today there is an opportunity for a new us, and we don't move to that version of a new us, if the Holy Spirit is convicting and moving in your hearts today, and we don't seek that new us, that new man, that new woman, then the Holy Spirit is grieving us. And there is hope today because we can receive the peace of God. We can receive an opportunity for joy. Can receive God's holy truth in our lives, and we don't have to live as the old man anymore. perhaps for each of us here, those who already follow Jesus and those who do not. Perhaps we need to take a moment, and after a few minutes when the altar call begins, perhaps we need to come and repent of some things in our life that are drawing us back to the old us. Perhaps we need to come and ask the question, why am I not pressing on? God, I want to press on, but I can't press on because I can't move on from something else. Maybe you don't even know what that is today. You just feel it in your heart. Allow God to show you what it is today. Come forward in this place and have an opportunity on this day to hear God's Spirit speak to you and reveal to you. Pray that it would reveal to you those things. We need to take the time today to pray that God would reveal unto us what it is that we need to do to move forward, to press on in the new year. And as 2023 nears an end, in the final day, we need to follow the Spirit's call. As it moves in this place, as it moves in our hearts, let's not neglect it today. Let's not go into 2024 with a darkened heart that is living in the world, with a darkened heart that has sacred cows, and a darkened heart that is living in past sin. Let's move on from those things. Let's press on as God has called us to on this day. Perhaps today you say, I don't know Jesus Christ. I've never been saved. There can't really be an old you because you've never been made new. Well, today's the opportunity to be that new man, that new woman that Holy Scripture teaches about. And today is the day that as the Holy Spirit convicts you and moves in your heart, that you can come and repent for the sins of your life and be made new. And today is the day that if you're living in the past hurts and the past pains and the past sins or whatever that is in your life, that you don't have to live in that past anymore. Come and repent of those past things so that you may press on as Scripture teaches us. And as this new year draws to a close, don't let this opportunity pass you. Whatever may be on your heart, perhaps it's baptism today. Maybe you've never been obedient to God in baptism. Today's the day to follow in that. And I pray today that you would do such a thing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we're just so thankful for your Holy Spirit on this day, that it can move in our hearts and it can give us an opportunity for newness. And I pray today that we wouldn't brush that off. Father, the holy opportunity that is before us on this day, let's follow the call that you have set before us. Father, I pray there's one here who needs an extra push. Father, would your Spirit give them the extra push they need? And Father, I pray today that as Brother Marty comes and we sing your praises on this day, that we wouldn't be shy, we wouldn't be negligent. Father, that we wouldn't be worried about being embarrassed. But Father, we would just follow what you've had for us. Father, this is really all about obedience today, and I just pray that your church would be obedient to you today. And I say this in your name. Amen.